grateful for you. We look forward to being enlightened by you. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Let me welcome all of you for this last episode of our Five Facets of Divine Truth. Once again, I would like to frame this and give you an orientation what we are trying to do here. It is said that each member of the Panchatattva, each singular personality, has a specific blessing for us in store, and if we can access it, contact the Lord through one of these five personalities, then with this blessing, it will be much easier for us to move forward in our spiritual life. And to obtain these blessings, we usually have two ways. One is we hear about each member of the Panchatattva. And the second is we engage in worship or meditation, some communication with them, so that there is a living, let us say, connection through which this blessing can flow. So good. Today we start with glorifying Srivas Thakur, who is very dear to the devotees' heart, because he is really the leader of all devotees. He's the prototype of what a devotee is supposed to be, who teaches by his example. So very interesting that he is, like all these personalities, have really a divine persona, a divine personality which pervades them. And Srivas Thakur is totally infused with the Shakti of Narada Muni. Therefore, he is often seen as an incarnation of Narada. How is Narada important for the bhaktas, those who want to obtain bhakti? Well, he is that universal personality who da means who gives Krishna to the soul. When Narada Muni, this great persona, looked upon our present time, he saw what we all experience, that is an overwhelming amount of bad qualities, because it's the age of quarrel, the age of Kali. Once Narada met Bhakti and said to her, "Oh, beautiful lady, there is no age equal to Kali. In this age, I will personally preach your glories in each and every home and establish you within the hearts of each and every individual. Please hear my vow. My name, Narada, will not be fulfilled if I cannot bring bhakti in the homes and hearts of the people of Kali Yuga." So this is the motto, so to say, the driving force, the motivation of Srivas Thakur. He wants to establish bhakti. He wants to give bhakti. I suggest that we start our little series by chanting a very nice verse regarding Srivas Thakur. We will put it on for you on the screen, and then we will chant it together. Yes, here it is. Jaya, jaya. I will chant it once alone, and then you please join me. Jaya Jaya Srivasadi Yata Bhakta Gana Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Janya Pranadana. Please chant with me. Jaya Jaya Shrivasari Jata Bhakta Gana Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Janra Pranadana. This means we can read it together. And the next slide. Oh glories to the world's many devotees. Let us praise all the devotees. Headed by Srivas Thakur, Sri Chaitanya is their life and soul. Our next slide will show you Srivas Thakur in a typical gesture of prayer. This is taken during the Abhishek, the royal bathing ceremony of Srivas Thakur in our Mayapur temple. Srivas Pandit or Srivas Thakur, it's the same personality, is a great, let us say, example for taking up Krishna consciousness or bhakti. See, there is something which is not so much known about him. It is, I guess, something which all of us on the path of bhakti should be aware of and keep in mind. It is said, he upon whom God is about to confer a higher office will be tested first. If you want to move on to the next level in your spiritual life, in your bhakti, then it is important for you to know that you need to put some effort there, as much as you are capable, because Krishna will want to see how serious you are, and by giving your best, also in overcoming obstacles on the path, Krishna will become convinced and say, this is a first-class person. In bhakti, it doesn't matter from which background you come, what you did before, but what does matter is that you have a serious intention to start your path with, let us say, to give focus and energy to your path. And the following story or narration from Chaitanya Chandramrita is just my favorite story, which gives you an insight why Srivas Thakur is just so important for us. Once Srivas Thakur met with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu asked him, do you remember how I once saved you from death? It was with my own hand that I stopped the life breath leaving your body. Srivas Thakur did, of course, remember, and he says, yes, my lord, I remember absolutely. And see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, tell everyone here from the very beginning how this came about. And then he turned to all the devotees who sat around and said, everyone now, hear very attentively. I would like to say this also to you, my dear audience. Please hear very attentively, because this gives you a principle of bhakti. So Srivas Thakur was, so to say, put on the spot. And he responded, before the Lord came into my life, from my childhood up to my 16th year of age, I was wild, I was merciless, I was offensive to gurus and brahmanas, and I had a generally very restless heart, which was hard as wood. I can identify with this because I was a wild, spoiled, rich kid up to my 16th year when I met devotees. It was exactly 16 years, so I can identify with this story, and I can also grasp the teachings from it. He said, I was proud, I was conceited, and even in my dreams, I never heard or chanted the glories of the Lord. Then, perhaps due to some intrusion, a divine person or a personality coming in my life, I had a dream, and this person in my dream said, "O Brahmana in name only, O restless-hearted one, who can give you advice? You will not listen to anyone. Still, I tell you now directly, you have only 1 year ahead of you. After that, you will die an untimely death. Do not throw away the short period which is still remaining and spend it on useless things." The next day, when Srivas Thakur was awakening at dawn, he remembered this very impactful dream where he was reminded of his short span of life that was remaining, and he became very unhappy that he would die so soon. So he made a decision at that time. He said to himself, I will give up my misdeeds. I will try to understand what is the purpose and goal of my human life. So he did at that time a study of the scriptures, and then the Narada Purana, he found a verse which some of you know. You might like to chant it along with me. Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva katir anyata. In this age of Kali, there's only one process of deliverance that works for one and all. It's the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. There is no other way. There is simply no other way. No other way is available. So, Srivas Thakur considered this to be a direct message of Krishna. I think all of us can identify with this. Sometimes when we read the scriptures with an intent to know, not passively, but actively, then it seems that Krishna speaks through the scriptures and gives us just the right answer which we need at this particular time. So Srivas Thakur put aside all other activities and he began to chant the holy name with single focus. On the day that had been prophesied to him, he thought, let me spend this day in a good Krishna conscious environment. And he went to the ashram of one Bhagavatam scholar, Devananda Pandit, who recited on that morning, the narration of Prahlad Maharaj from the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam. He sat on a balcony, Srivastaku, and listened from the balcony to the lecture or reading that was going on in the courtyard. And when that moment came, that last moment, he was seized by death and he fell from the balcony down. Now, in that state between life and death, he saw the same personality who had appeared to him 1 year ago and forewarned him of his end. He saw that same personality appear before him and said, Srivas, Srivas, may you live. And when he woke up, he was in a pile of straw. He had fallen from the balcony, poom, into this pile of straw. And he was clearly overwhelmed. So his friends helped him to come out of the pile of straw and they steadied his body. He was quite shaky. He had just died and just a new life had been given to him. And they helped him to go home. Srivastaku said in his own word, I was overcome with gratefulness. Again I stood, trying to keep my balance. My dear friends at that time helped me and brought me home. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had been staying there, sitting just in front or to the side of Srivastaku. And now he spoke also. It was me that had appeared to you initially in your dream, and it was me who gave back your life to you when it had ended. And then he quoted a very nice verse. As iron becomes gold by the touch of a Sparshamani, these are touchstones, so your body became like a new body by the entrance of Narada Shakti. Narada Shakti, in a specific way, is Narada Muni came with all his energies. In a general way, like it is most properly the case with all of the devotees of the Lord who are inspired and energized, and Narada's Shakti comes as bhakti into the heart. Advaita Acharya, who was a great scholar, stood nearby and he commented. He said, it is so, it is so. Otherwise, a dead man cannot rise from the dead and live again, you know, if there would not be a specific energy coming into his body. And then he said, this is the mystery of bhakti. There's a statement in the Shastras, Advaita Acharya said, which says, a person who worships me attains a new body. I was thinking about this. I got yesterday a letter from a person who is already since 109 days, this is what the letter said, in a hospital waiting for her heart transplantation. She wrote to me, I'm ready now. Any moment the doctor and the nurse could come in and say, okay, we are ready to start. At that time, I would be driven to a place called the Heart Center. And if my body is in good order, and if the organ which has just arrived from a person who died in an accident, if they are both in good order, then they will make the heart transplantation. I don't know if I will wake up, But I wanted to write you and express my gratitude for having come to contact, with Krishna consciousness, with the life of bhakti, etc. So yeah, that person is also in the situation in which Narada Muni found him, not Narada Muni, Srivas Pandit found himself. You know, death is so close, and at that time you know what matters really, and you are not willing to enter any form of distraction any longer. And when you come out of this situation, you really have a new lease on life, almost like that patient in the hospital who will get a new life, really, with this transplantation. Let us hope. I cannot tell you now. I will tell you when all this, when I get the second letter, hopefully, that the person is alive. Good. Who is Shivas Pandit? Is there a little background? And yes, there is. Shivas Pandit comes from Silhet. He has four brothers, actually. One older brother, and then Ramai, Srinidhi, and Sripati. They moved from a place where also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's parents came from, that is Silhet in today's Bangladesh. And they came to Mayapur, and Shivas lived there a simple life of devotion. We have his regulation. He read scriptures. He worshipped Lord Vishnu. He had a deity which he worshipped, or Shalagam Shilas. Then he took a daily bath in Mother Ganga. He himself was a very good scholar of the Bhagavatam and counseled devotees, but he also regularly went to Advaita Acharya for the Bhagavatam katha. He lived only, it's very interesting, 100 bow lengths. I don't know how, maybe that's 200 meters, 225 meters away from Shiva's, from Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi's house. And he was there when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took birth. He was already, I think, around 50 years old, and so on. When the Lord had grown up, he once came to Srivas Thakur's house and said, "You're only reading the Bhagavatam and chanting the holy name, but you have a large family. Who, I mean, I request you, you either work or you leave home and become a sannyasi." Srivas Thakur listened, and his answer was this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "What does this mean? We are discussing, and you are clapping three times in the hand." Shivas Thakur said, "This clap means, if one day I'm not getting anything to eat, I will fast. The second clap means, if one day, if another day, the next day, I will again have nothing to eat, I will fast. The third clap means, my dear Lord, if you should break your promise which you have given in the Gita, that you would take care of your devotees, then this will look very bad for you. Who will believe you? Then in great misery, I will go with all my family to Mother Ganga, and we will drown ourselves in the Ganga, because you are truthful to your promise." This promise is given in the Bhagavad Gita, and we will ask for the slide. It is here. It's in the 9th chapter of the Gita, text 22. You might like to chant it along with me. Anand, we can do it all together because the rhyme it's very simple. Ananyaschintayanto mam ye jana payupasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshema vahamyaham. Please, the translation. The translation of this verse reads, but those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and preserve what they have. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the Lord's care of his devotees is for him not a duty. The Lord is duty bound to maintain the entire universe up to the time of destruction. But when the Lord takes care of his devotees, he doesn't feel duty bound that he has to do this because he is the Lord. He feels bound by affection. In Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's words, rather I, by my own will, accept to take care of my devotees. I'm not bearing this as a duty, as my duty to create and maintain the universe. No, rather, I'm so attached to my devotees that I take the greatest pleasure in taking care of their need, like carrying the weight of one's lover. I do not have personal experience, but I have heard that when a lover feels the beloved on top of it, it's not a burden where the person wants to be rid of. It's not a weight he wants to get rid of. It's pleasurable for the lover to feel the beloved on top of them, you know, carrying the weight. So in the same way, Krishna does not consider it a burden to take care of his devotees. It's a matter of love. Or maybe another example, when a father carries his little girl, although the little girl just comes from a Sunday feast and is quite heavy because it has eaten large proportions of food, the father doesn't mind the heavy weight of his little daughter. He carries it with a smile. We can see Ananda Vihari, who is a father. That is true. No, it's out of love.
With a smile, big smile, Maharaj.
Yes. So I would like to now, looking at the time, go to what happened in Shriva's court. How it is court? You must understand. At that time, they built differently. Shivas had a very nice property where he had a few simple mud houses which were with a roof from other natural materials, bamboo and reed. And there were a few of these houses in one property to host all his family members. And in the midst was a courtyard, and it is described in the courtyard there grew a wonderful Madhavi plant that was entwining all the roofs and everything. It had very fragrant flowers, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chose this particular place as the birthplace of the inauguration of the holy name. Every single evening, the Lord danced in this courtyard, performing a beautiful kirtan that lasted all night long. All those who participated in this kirtan experienced an incredible amount of ecstasy and danced with wild abandon. Nitai was there, Lord Nityananda, and it's described his dancing steps were so powerful that when he went with his foot on the earth, it seemed as if an earthquake was happening. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sometimes levitate. He would not touch the ground any longer and defied the law of gravitation. And danced so much that sometimes his feet were touching the head. My dear devotees, it is simply very difficult to describe the ecstatic condition of a human being, because once the bhakti enters your heart and makes you an ecstatic human being, you don't behave like a normal human being any longer. And those who are ecstatic human beings, they feel us who are not ecstatic to be almost a little dead. But that's how the difference is between enlivened Krishna consciousness and unenlivened Krishna consciousness. So they were singing one particular song, which we have prepared for you, Krishna Rama Mukunda Murari Vanamali. It is for me, yes, thank you, Venkatavata. It is a very nice song which we want to sing for you. Krishna, Krishna Rama Mukunda Murari Vanamali, Krishna Rama Mukunda Murari Vanamali, everyone. Krishna Rama Mukunda Murari Vanamali, Krishna Rama Mukunda Murari Vanamali. And one more time, everyone together. Krishna Rama Mukunda Murari Vanamali, Krishna Rama Mukunda Murari Vanamali. Sometimes they sing this line the whole night. Of course, they chanted also the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but this was a very, very preferred kirtan. Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama Gopa Govindaram Shimadu Sudan. The names of Krishna are so delicious that they would repeat them again and again and again. Now what is, and then they were sweating, the pearls of sweat were like white pearls appearing on their bodies. And in the morning, when the morning sun rose, they were looking at each other and saying, "It's already the night over?" And then they would go down with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the Ganga and take their morning bath in the cool, refreshing motherly embrace of Mother Ganga. What is important here for our discussion is that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally left Navadvip or Mayapur, in order to go to Puri, he said, I will be still present here in four houses. I will come into the house of my mother Shiva Sachi Devi and eat her prasadam. Whenever and wherever Nityananda dances, I will immediately become manifest there. I will also visit the homes of Raghava Pandit, but I will be especially present in the kirtans of Srivas Thakur. My dear devotees, my dear friends, and dear skeptics, whenever I am in Mayapur, I make it a special event to take a group of devotees to the house of Srivas Thakur. It's still there, Srivas Sangam, and then do a kirtan after dusk, because that's the time when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. And I cannot tell you what is the feeling there. You immediately feel you are in a different environment. I've asked the resident monks there who take care of this home and also worship the deities, which I think we will show you the deities at this home, because we have done a puja for all of you there. But they say that they have often heard an unearthly kirtan all of a sudden happening in the night, and very ecstatic kirtan with long drawn out melodies, the way we don't sing today any longer. And some older, very pure souls have also said that they saw the divine dancing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu still going on. I therefore encourage you, when you go to Mayapur and you want to experience the ongoing pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, go to Srivas Thakur's house, because the Lord said he would appear there and be constantly present even after he had left Navadvip and Mayapur. This is there are many, many very nice pastimes associated at the home of Srivas Thakur. And because we are coming closer to the time when we want to make our meditations and exercises and see the video, I will jump forward a little bit. I'm sorry, I've gotten a little bit. Here we are. One pastime which took place there was when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed his six-armed form. We have brought a slide for you. Here it is. It was when Lord Nityananda's appearance day was there, and there was a ceremony which took place in the Vyasa Puja ceremony of Lord Nityananda. There is one ceremonial step which all gurus who perform Vyasa Puja do, either visibly or in their mind, that is to glorify Vyasadev. The guru is not standing alone. He is representing Vyasadev and the lineage, the sampradaya, which comes from him. So when Lord Nityananda had to put a garland around a picture of Vyasadev, he looked around and then he went directly to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You are Vyasadev, he wanted to show. And when he put the garland around him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu changed into this form here, which you see. It's a beautiful photo. The upper arms show Krishna, show him as Krishna holding the flute. Underneath the upper arms, there are the arms of Lord Ram. Actually, I must explain to you, because we usually don't meet six-armed people, so I'm a little bit surprised. It's the upper arms are that of Ram, but here Lord Ram has put the arms a little down, because then he can put the bow on the ground. But this is the first set of arms. The second set of arms are those of Krishna. The third set of arms, holding a sannyas danda and a water pot, a kamandalu, these are the arms of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he renounced. This form, my dear devotees, we have put this in your handout, is very important. Prabhupada says, see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is represented in the sixth arm form of Sadbhujamurti, which is a combination of Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna, and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he says, the best purpose of human life can be fulfilled by worshipping the Sadbhujamurti, the form of the Lord with six arms. Two arms of Ramachandra, can you see? Two arms of Krishna and two arms of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I have worshipped this form many, many years. I have a short deity. It's a very powerful form of the getting blessings, and a picture is good enough. You just have the form of the Lord before you. You look at it from, and you can chant mantras to this form. You can chant your rounds before this form, and you will see, you will attain many, many miracles in your spiritual life. Many things which you can only say that this was happening due to divine grace. Lord Chaitanya also manifested for 21 hours. It's called the Shat Prahariya Bhava, various incarnations that he previously had taken. Lord Chaitanya sat in Shiva Sangam, and out of him came the form of Rama. Out of him came the form of Nrisimhadev. Various divine forms manifested, and so on. And afterwards, there was an Abhishek. Looking at the time, I would like to talk so much. I could talk really 24 hours about what happened in this courtyard of Shivas Thakur. But I thought we have heard now enough in order to enter the second phase of our program, that is to sing the glories and worship Lord Chaitanya Shivas Thakur. We will start with a song, and then after the song we will go into a meditation. I will say to our technical person, we will have the pleasure to sing two of these songs. It's a rather long, two of these verses. It's a rather long song, and then we will chant Hare Krishna. And as you chant Hare Krishna, please, my dear devotees, try to envision the ecstatic kirtan taking place even today in Shrivas Thakur's house.
Kori Shobe
Sapta Dvipa Dipta Kori. Everyone please sing. Shobe Nava Dvipa Puri.
Jaya Vishwa
seven islands of the world. Sri Navadvipuri shines due to the presence of that king among the gods, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Vishvambara. There, in the midst of Sri Vishvambara's bhaktas, is the renowned Shivas Pandit, whose life mission is Shri Krishna Kirtan. All glories to Pandit Thakur. By a speck of his mercy, one can become a recipient of Gaura Prema. All of his pastimes are simply matchless.
Jara
Kripa Lesha Matra, Hoya Gora Prema Patra. Anupama Shakala Charita.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Everybody please sing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. From here, let us directly go into a meditation of Shiva's Pandit that will give peace and calm, but also joy, devotional joy in our hearts. Please find a sitting position in which you can sit straight. Maybe you want to open your chest a little for breathing more nicely and actively. And when you are ready, please close your eyes. Bring your attention to your feet and relax. Bring your attention next to the entire legs, up to your sitting bones, and relax. The trunk of your body up to your shoulders. Relax. Your arms. Relax. And now your head and your face with the 33,000 muscles. Relax. Bring your attention now to your breath. Take a slow and deep breath in and out. Then continue to breathe like this, gentle, slow, and deep breathing. When we slow down our breath and lengthen it, our mind will find calm Now bring your attention to the heart space. There, in the heart, let us meditate on Shiva's Thakur. He's decorated with a radiant prema, and thus he shines like pure and molten gold from the inside. The shining golden form. There's various, very deep emotions, like crying and trembling. His body is covered with monsoon-like perspiration due to his ecstatic singing and dancing. He's most of the time dressed in spotlessly white cloth. And there's always a smile on his face as he engages his hands in rendering direct services to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Let us meditate about that golden form of Sri Vas Thakur, which has a complexion like that of molten gold. See the smile and feel the love that emanates from every single pore in his body. Let this golden light pervade us a little more. And then let us take a few deep breaths. And return to room awareness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I give you a little bit more time. I can feel some of you are just arriving back. Yes. So, yes, I sometimes feel cruel. I have heard many times that people like to meditate and stay in that space, and that is good. And I have good news for you. We are just finishing a very nice book on 16 very strong, powerful meditations. They are a little longer than what we do here, and they are good for home use, but not while you drive. Of course not. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once spoke to Shiva's Thakur. He took the hand of Shiva's Thakur in his own hand and he said, "My dear Shrivas, you are actually my eternal servant. You have dedicated unto me all of your wealth, your followers, your body, family, and household paraphernalia. And thus you have become most joyful because you are so nicely situated in my eternal service. I think this Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to all of you and all his devotees, wherever they are. My dear devotees, you have so kindly engaged yourself with your body, with your mind, even with your wealth in my service. And you have thus become joyful. Please know Nityananda Prabhu and I are helplessly bound by your love to us. We feel as if we are your own sons. This is the mood of this seminar, to establish a relationship. And to conclude this, we have two videos. I think we have two, is it correct? Two or at least one video where we have done pujas, two videos, I see, for all of you. One in Mayapur and the second one in Srivas Thakur, Srivas Sangam. Actually, the first video I hear is in Srivas Sangam. I request you, while you see these beautiful videos, where your case is really brought to Srivas Thakur and the Panchatattva, pray and be there with your mind. So we see the first video now. Here the priest goes and gives your names. See the list of names? Wow. Later he has started pujas and he puts this list on a mridanga. It is a broken mridanga. It has a certain history because Srivas Thakur, in order to host the kirtan, of Lord Chaitanya, he drew the angry reactions of his neighbors who complained to the Qazi on him, and then the Qazi one day broke the mridanga. The devotees celebrate this as overcoming all obstacles, because after he did this, Lord Chaitanya arranged a massive sankirtan procession to his house and turned the mind of the Qazi towards bhakti and devotion. It's a beautiful story which we cannot tell here. So your names are there, and the priest later performed this puja. I think there were some photos which I just saw. Fine. Now we will go to Sridhar Mayapur, and we will have, this was in Mayapur, to our temple. There is your list, the same list, on the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No, Srivas Thakur, I'm sorry. Please pray that Srivas Thakur's Shakti will come into you. Hare Krishna. You can see his prayerful gesture. All the other members of the Panchatattva have their arms raised, but Srivas Thakur prefers to pray. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We will end the session with a quotation from Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada here encourages us what Srivas Thakur is standing for. Srivas Thakur is the next to the Namacharya, Haridas Thakur, because he hosted the kirtans of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and was a kirtan singer in Mahaprabhu's eternal kirtan. He presents also the Acharya who is giving the pure holy name. So this is Prabhupada's statement. Why don't you always think of Krishna? Where's the loss? If you are walking on the street or going on a bus or in your car, if you chant Hare Krishna mantra, what is your heavy loss? Is there any loss? Why don't you do it? Try it. There is no loss. And if there is any gain, why don't you try it? This quotation we found in His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj's wonderful book, I Built You a Temple, The Juhu Story. No? I think all pure devotees will address us like this. Chant Hare Krishna everywhere, and you will think of Krishna, you will be with Krishna. There is only gain. Please try it. this is our concluding slide for you for today. In this series, we sincerely hoped that the Panchatattva, or the five facets of divine truth, have taken on a new color for you. They have become more lively for you. You can associate more with them. It's not just a black and white image. It is a colorful image. It is lifelike for you, and you feel encouraged to have their divine sangha wherever it is that you are. Please never forget, Krishna can be present now. Krishna can be invited into your heart now. Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya has shown the way how to do this. That is the chanting of the holy name with deep absorption and deep reflection about your relationship. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna. We will turn to our Dayal Gauranga now before we go to the question and answer sessions. But Prabhus, I am in ecstasy. Haribo.
Thank you, Maharaj, for sharing that ecstasy with us. And I just have a quick announcement that I'm going to invite you to speak more about. This is for everybody and also everyone you know to please share. We'll be sharing some links here in the chats. On April 3rd, there is a special Narasimha Puja for the evoked blessings of the Divine Protector. For all the devotees that are there in Ukraine and their extended families and loved ones who are all over the world. There will be three different pujas at three different times so that devotees in different parts of the world can participate. As mentioned, it will be on Sunday, April 3rd. This flyer will be sent out. There are three different pujas for the different time zones. And Maharaj would like to also say a little bit about this puja as well, and the spirit and purpose behind it. And so, Maharaj, would you like to share a little bit more?
Yes. My dear everyone, I am aware that there are very wonderful initiatives being done all over the world to give strength to to the devotees and the people also in these conflict areas. There's money collected, there's awareness raised. With this program, we want to raise blessings. We will worship the Divine Protector, Lord Nrisimhadev, for the protection of all who are suffering in the world. It's not a political program where only one side is supported and the other not. Everyone suffers from ignorance and so on. And this is a puja where we call out, oh Lord Nrisimhadev, please please, please remove this ignorance by coming in the heart and so on. We want to create an atmosphere where a group petition is there. That means as many participants as we can gather, because that pleases the Lord more, that invokes Him more. We want to also invoke blessings for those who are suffering, and we want that the participants receive blessings. They will actively participate. So here you see what the program is all about. In one day, that is the 3rd of April, we will do 3 pujas on 3 continents to 3 Nrsimha deities. We will start in Ahobilam at dusk time, that is in central India, the place where Lord Nrsimhadev appeared actually from the pillar. Yes, we have convinced the Brahmanas to come together and do this puja there. Then we will move to Germany. There is a place called Simhachalam, where the first Nrsimha deity in our movement was installed on the advice of Srila Prabhupada. And then we will go to New Vrindavan. This is the 3rd puja in America. So here you find the time. So basically, we can attend in either one of 3 pujas, or we can attend 2 out of 3 pujas, or we can be there in all 3 pujas. You find there the time. In India, it's 6:30 p.m. Indian Standard Time. In Germany, it is 8 p.m. Central Europe time. And in USA, it is 8 p.m. I don't know what this means, EDT, and so on. And we will pray for the Ukraine and the world and invoke and receive powerful blessings of the Divine Protector. It is something very serious. Our priests are preparing for 7 days. They fast and they do all the preparatory steps, which are done in a very powerful puja. I hope that afterwards either the clouds of ignorance are dispelled and this violence and is there, or at least everyone has received powerful spiritual blessings that will manifest in due course of time. And I can guarantee you, if you take part in such a sincere prayer event, you will actually not be the same afterwards. It will really transform. We have a web page where we post also little photos, videos, and so on. This is not web page, this is Instagram. I just hear a Global Puja for Ukraine. It's an Instagram account, and you can find all the informations you need there. Maybe you want to take your mobile telephone and make a short photo of the Instagram account, as you please. Fine. So this is not so much a fundraising event. Yes, we will give accounts where everyone wants to donate. That is there. But the main emphasis is really on. It's a blessing raising event and a prayer raising event, so that really this will go very well. There will be a commentator doing the puja. Like, you know, in the football match, we don't know what is happening. We normal people who are not familiar with the football knowledge. But the commentator will say, now he shoots the goal into the opposing he shoots the ball into the opposing camp and so on, and then we understand everything. So there will be a similar, I mean, this is a bad, this is a foolish example, but there will be a commentator who guides us through every step of the puja so that we can really participate in this. And they will be done very traditionally, so that you can pray and to receive also the blessings. Yes, I will end here about this subject.
Thank you, Maharaj. We have two questions that we will ask you before we conclude for the day. The first question comes from Diksha Ahuja in Delhi and Anonymous. It's very similar questions, so I clubbed them together. How do we apply the pastime in our own lives? Srivas Pandit clapping his hands 3 times and saying, if Krishna does not provide, I will drown myself in the Ganga. Because as grihasthas, we have to work and provide for our families, do so many duties, and we cannot just shirk our duties and say, Krishna, we will completely depend on you. So how do we apply that pastime to our lives?
A very good question. In the Gita, the Lord does not encourage us for passivity. He tells us we should actively engage with the world. That is, we should use our body according to our appropriate dharma in the Lord's service. I see it a little bit like this. Krishna has given you intelligence. Krishna has given you hands. Krishna has given you a body. So for most of us, we use these things, these God-given things, and in this way we feel, although we work, although we earn money, it's really Krishna who is enabling us to work and to earn our livelihood. But for Shiva's Thakur and for others, the Lord maintained them in a different way. Most of us are maintained if we do our duties, and in this way the Lord maintains us. But a few people who have given their life exclusively for Krishna, for whom this is the way they move forward in their life, they are maintained by Krishna. I must say, you need to be in your dharma. A preacher who does full-time service as in his dharma as preaching will find that he is maintained by the Lord. But the preacher is not a lazy person. The preacher usually does more work than an earning person. He is 24 hours in action, or at least ready to jump to the action. So Krishna maintains him like this, whereas some of us are maintained by Krishna when they do their particular dharma, which may be to do their duty and work like this. Everyone needs to be in his dharma, and then they are maintained. Someone who maintains his dharma is maintained by dharma itself, but you have to find out, what is my particular dharma? Thank you, very good question. Yes, what is the next question?
Thank you, Maharaj. Before we go to the next question, just wanted to call out, you are already aware, Maharaj, but maybe some of the people are not. Anand Bihari Prabhu from the Bhakti Center is actually on as Bhakti Center, Bhakti NYC. He has been in the background doing all the technical work needed for this series, setting up and, you know, manipulating all the YouTube accounts and Zoom and so on. And it's his wife, Chinmayi Radha's birthday today also.
Wow!
So we wanted to call out and wish him and his family.
But let us first get Shimayi Rad. Can you get her? Yes, so she is... We cannot anonymously, what is the word, celebrate the birthday. We have to do it with a real person. Wow, happy birthday, Chinmayi Radha. Haribol. I think one cannot ask a lady how old she is. That is, at least in Europe, highly impolite. But we wish you all the best and the blessings of the Panchatattva. And may you continue your nice service and Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thanks, everyone, for your blessings. Thank you. And Anand Bihari also runs the daily Srimad Bhagavatam program, which has fantastic speakers from all over the world, really, every single morning at 7 o'clock New York time in the morning. So if you want to check that out, it's live on the Bhakti Center's YouTube channel every day. And you can check out past recordings there as well. So now on to the last question. So the last question is from Anonymous. How do we understand some apparent contradictions in the life of Srivas Thakur? After all, he is Narada Muni, an eternal brahmachari, and he's constantly chanting Krishna's names and sharing Krishna's glories. But in this Leela, in Chaitanya Leela, he's a grihastha who has children. And you also described him, Maharaj, as being a wild, merciless person till he was 16 years of age, and he had never heard or chanted about Krishna externally. So how do we understand these apparent contradictions?
Wonderful question. I hope that someone would ask this particular question, and I'm very grateful. So let me deal with the first part of your question. How do we understand that on one hand he is seen as a Narada Muni, a brahmachari, and on the other hand he's worshipped or he's seen as a grihastha? This is the first question. Now, mostly Shiva's Pandit is worshipped as a grihastha who was married to his wife Malini, and thus he is mostly worshipped with long hair. You saw photos with long hair and dressed all in white. Sometimes, however, he's depicted in saffron robes and shaven head, like a brahmachari, which points out to his identity as Narada Muni. Now you must know something about spiritual personalities. They're not like you and me who stop at the red light before they cross a street. They are very different. And one of the differences is that sometimes in them, there are two personalities. Now, if in you and me there are two personalities, this is a serious problem. We need to call the people with the white dress who come and bring you to the special place where mentally challenged people are. It's called schizophrenia. Spiritual personalities are not split personalities when they are two identities are there. So Shiva's Thakur, he is mostly acting in the Leela in Navadvip as a grihastha, and in other Leelas, in other pastimes which take place in other spiritual rooms, you could say, or dimensions, he acts as a brahmachari, dressed in saffron and seeker. This I like about Krishna consciousness. It is beyond our logic. Let me use a word. It's transrational. Oh, my new English word. Transrational. If I would... The spiritual world or spiritual reality has various dimensions. Look at Krishna. To some, Krishna is a little boy who is worshipped like Krishna. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda worship him as a small little boy. Now at the same time, he meets Radha in the forests in Vrindavan to dance the Rasa dance, and there he is more like this form, a youthful form. Now, how can these two things go on? Small Shishu, Shishu means small little boy, and at the same time a youth. Is it a split personality? No, this is Krishna. This is a divine personality who reciprocates and responds to his devotees in various forms. Look at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Most worship him with long hair on the altar, but those who have taken sannyas, they worship him as the sannyas form, with shaved up and saffron dhoti. But inexplicable for human reason, he's both. And it depends on your relationship, how you relate to him, in which form he reveals himself in your life. That's why, my dear listeners, we were not just explaining things in this seminar series. We were also engaging you in meditation, in kirtan, in worship, in receiving blessings, because the divine reality cannot be understood with the mind. It can be understood with a heart that is enlightened by spiritual realization that comes as you engage in acts of worship. You have asked a second question, which is also very important, and I thank you so much for it. We heard from this work of Kavi Kanapur that up to his 16th birthday, Shivas Thakur was a wild boy. But then from his 16th birthday on, he was infused with Narada's Shakti. You know, when this moment, when he had this death, so to say, and was revived by Lord Chaitanya. We cannot say that Srivas Thakur was ever ignorant and merciless. But this story can be understood only if you understand that this is the way an eternal truth manifests in the world of three dimensions. He is an enlightened soul, yet... he does here on this platform, on this earth, he performs a certain pastime in through which he demonstrates a certain truth. That is, when bhakti comes to the life of someone, then his whole destiny changes. He was meant to die in his 17th year, you know, 16 and 1. But he took, when he was 16 years old, to the chanting of the holy name after Lord Chaitanya had appeared to him. So with this Leela, Shivas Thakur demonstrates to all of us, at any moment, and this is another secret of bhakti, you can turn around. It's never too late for bhakti. Even a person on his deathbed can turn around and take to the process of bhakti and receive a new life. This is so wonderful. By the way, I knew that these questions would come. I knew. I spoke in such a way that these questions, you know, I spoke about this Leela. Then I knew this question would come. And I also knew, just like in Advaita Acharya's case, you know, sometimes we see him with a beard and sometimes, sorry, without a beard. So this question is coming up about the two dimensions, two realities. So, but I'm so grateful that someone listened strongly and therefore gave me an opportunity to explain this. I'm not making this up or saying it. I knew it would come. This is very good. Very good that we engage with these deep questions with the transcendental reality. I thank you very much. And everyone, we are in perfect time. This is a scandal.
Maharaj, we're always hoping that you're going to go over time. So thank you for giving us your time. I have just a couple of practical closing announcements. And then we would, of course, if there's any concluding words you'd like to share, Maharaj, as we just end the overall series, we'd love to invite you for that. We're putting all the information, as Maharaj mentioned, for the Nisringadev Puja that's coming, as well as we'll be sending out all of the worksheets for this session, as well as all the previous worksheets that we've had. Every session, if you're new to this series, every session has had a worksheet that we send out via email or we include in the chat here. If you're on the Bhakti Center's Temple newsletter, or if you want to get it in the Zoom chat here, it's a worksheet for you to take what Maharaj has spoken about and reflect on it during the week, make it very practical, bring it into your life so that it actually integrates into your spirituality on a daily basis. It's one of Maharaj's hallmarks of his teachings and how he shares bhakti that's so beautiful and valuable. We will be posting our upcoming series, our next Saturday series, in the near future, so please be on a lookout for that. If you'd like to be in touch with any of our future offerings with the Bhakti Center, you can feel free to go to bhakticenter.org and click on our temple link, and you can get on our temple newsletter or just check out events and things that will be happening there. Just on behalf of all of our team, Maharaj, we're so grateful for you. It's always a big blessing for us to have the opportunity to associate with you and all of your beautiful followers and well-wishers and students from all over the world. Thank you so much for being with us and helping to really start off this year with these beautiful series and celebrate this time of year. In just a minute, we'll unmute everybody and give them a chance to share their gratitude and appreciation with you. But I believe you may want to share just some concluding words to the whole series before we, because we're not going to be meeting next week, even though some of us may be checking the Zoom room on the hope that maybe you'll be there, but they may be disappointed. But we'd like to maybe just invite you. Any concluding words on this series?
When the Bhakti Center approached me to give this series of five facets of divine truth, my reaction honestly was, oh, this will be a lot of work to prepare all this and to prepare the worksheets and so on. And since this is a specialized subject matter, which is maybe relevant for those who, mostly for those who practice bhakti, and that's always a smaller number, I felt, maybe I can get out of this. Not that I don't like to work hard, but there's always so much in the life going on. But then, when I started with the first working on the first presentation, already then, at the end, I could see a lot of divine blessings coming. This feeling became stronger and stronger and stronger as I went down the road and as we went to various places of our journey. And I can only say I'm very, very grateful to all of you who arranged this series, but also all of those who came regularly and who went with me on the journey. And I want to leave you with a comment that is really from there. It is a realized comment. I realized this is a big word, but I have been granted some insight during this series. When you sincerely connect with any member of the Panchatattva, and you are really, let me say, you have faith in the notion that they can actually manifest their blessings in your life, then these blessings really come and you feel it. This is the blessing, I think, which all of you gave me when I prepared these sessions. I needed to engage very closely with each of the members, and they all sprang to life, and they all came in my life, so in some little way at least. So I really request you to maybe go over the handouts which you can receive, and do some of these exercises which were detailed and laid out for you, and then experience miracles. What's the use of spiritual life if we can't experience the blessings of it? It is saying it offers. What's the use of real spiritual process if it does not deliver the fruits to us? So we just need to always think and find out how it can work for us at this particular stage of our lives where we are. These are my concluding words. So thank you very much. Hope to see you somewhere. Yes, I'm coming not through the computer, but as a real person, not a computer image, to the Bhakti Center. We will have a little celebration there in the Bhakti Center. I think it will be posted. When was that? In the months of June? Or when was it, Dayal Gauranga?
June, right around about the extra time.
Yeah. June 12th, I'm just hearing.
June 12th.
Yes, then I'm coming to the Bhakti Center. And why don't we meet all there in person?
That's what a great idea.
The good idea from all parts of the world. Why be hesitant to travel? We should travel freely and go to the Bhakti Center in 12th of June. Why not? Why not? Think out of the box.
Yes, all of you are invited. Thank you, Maharaj, for that beautiful, beautiful invitation to the world to come to the Bhakti Center. I hope that exactly the amount of people that we have space for will come. Krishna always arranges. Thank you so much, Maharaj. We can't look forward enough to seeing you in person, and we hope that you are safe and nourished until then. And as per our usual trend, we will unmute everybody and allow them to share their gratitude and love and appreciation for you through the computer. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Oh,
thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.